Last week, I shared a message with you about learning to be content. And this morning, I just want to reinforce some of those principles, but really focus on the learning. Some of you, you're not liking that right now because you're thinking like school. Yeah, the learning. There's no quick fix for this, but there are some principles that we can learn from the Word of God that will help us truly learn to be content. There's so much discontentment in our society, and that discontentment robs us of our peace, our joy, and just being able to enjoy so many things in life. Being able to enjoy life itself. We've just become this culture of more. It's always got to be more. We're never satisfied with where we are, what we have, at least not for very long. And even when we get what we think will satisfy us, it doesn't ever seem to be what we thought it was going to be. Brought something special this morning. This is a four-color pen. Y'all are laughing at me. It's got green and red and blue. Now, you're laughing, but I got to tell you, when I was about 9 or 10 years old, if you had one of these and you took it to school, you were cool. Now you got to have an iPhone. My, how things change, right? And in fact, you know, most of us adults, we just think, yeah, these kids today, they're so spoiled. Aren't we all? I remember back in the dark ages when Carmen and I got married. Believe it or not, they did have TVs, but we didn't have one. In fact, I was thinking back, you know, when we first got married, we didn't have a single piece of furniture in our house that wasn't a hand-me-down. But our TV, well, we didn't have one, so I don't remember exactly when we finally got one, but we did. It was a used 13-inch TV, you know, with the dial to change the channels. Some of you are like, what? Come on, some of you remember these things. And so Carmen had to get up and walk across the room to change the channel. Okay. Now we got a 55-inch TV. And some of you are thinking, that's not very big. But it's just always got to be more. It's always got to be newer. It's always got to be better. Some time ago, there was a newspaper cartoon that had a picture of two mules, and both of them are in a field with plenty of grass, but they are sticking their head through the fence into each other's field. Somehow or another, it's the grass is greener, right, on the other side of the fence. And it appears that they both have become tangled in the fence and can't extricate themselves now. And there's just one word at the bottom of the cartoon. It says, discontent. And you know what? That's so much of the American way of life. We just think, oh, if I had what they have, if I was in their shoes, if things would just be better for me, I would really be content. And we find ourselves trapped in this prison of discontent, always thinking that something else is going to finally make us happy. Once we had this, then we'll finally be there. And I hope you understand, I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about jobs. I'm talking about situation and circumstance. We just think, then I could finally be happy. We convince ourselves if we just get to a better place in life, then everything's going to be good. Now, this really started for me, I think, especially when I was young and I thought, well, you know, when I finally have a driver's license and a car, I'll be content. So at 15 years old, I bought my first car. Crickets. It's true. 15 years old, I bought my first car after working at Piggly Wiggly for a while. And I got a hardship license. I got a driver's license at 15 years old. I can assure you I didn't have any hardship, but so, that's what they called it. I don't know. Anyway, so I had a driver's license and a car at 15 years old. But you know, then it turns into, well, you know, when I can finally get out of the house and I'm on my own, so I get to pay all those bills, right? And then it's, you know what, when I find Mrs. Wright, for some of you it's Mr. Wright, and I finally get married, then I'll be content. And then it's, well, you know, when my spouse finally gets their act together, I'll be content. And then it's, you know what, when we have kids, oh, we're going to be content. We're going to be so fulfilled when we have kids. And then you got that baby, you don't get any sleep anymore, and you find out what it is to live, to serve somebody else. You know what I'm saying? You're at their beck and call anytime, day or night, and you take care of them, on and on and on it goes. And you think, well, you know what? When they get a little older, when they finally learn to obey, it's going to be better. And then they're teenagers, and you're thinking, this isn't life. I mean, when they're out of the house, we'll be able to live again. And then it becomes, you know what? It's going to be great when we can finally stop working, when we can retire. We'll be content then. We can just do what we want. And then you retire. And you sit and you think, you know, the good old days. I remember when I used to be so content with life. Not much longer, and we leave this life feeling like we never really got what we want. I want you to know that is not God's plan for our lives. He wants us to live full lives. He wants us to have an abundant life, a life overflowing with life. But that doesn't come as long as we harbor this discontentment with our situation and where we are, and it just seems like it's always something. I'm glad that we can learn to be content. Philippians 4:11-13 in the NIV, it says it this way: I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul makes it very clear. He says, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. And I want to remind you that he is writing this letter to the Philippians. He's writing this from prison. He's in prison while he's saying, I've learned to be content in whatever situation. My circumstances. This man who was called of God as an apostle, who went from city to city declaring the gospel and seeing lives changed and starting churches, and now he's imprisoned. How can he be content? He learned it. And I want to tell you, if he can learn it, we can learn it. We need to learn to be content so that we can enjoy life right now, not someday, not over the next hill or when we finally, but right now, we can enjoy life and truly be content with that peace, the joy in a world where people are so stressed, so frustrated and aggravated. I want to tell you, this is one of the ways that we can stand out as a child of God. But so many Christians seem to be just as frustrated and agitated and discontent as the world around them. We need to learn to be content. I want to clarify some things about Paul was saying. We need to understand what he's not saying. Paul did not say that he was satisfied to do nothing, to achieve nothing. No, this is the same guy that in the chapter before this, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's always pressing forward. I mean, you see that in his life, in the book of Acts and in the letters that he wrote, that he was always pressing forward. He wasn't content in the sense that he was just satisfied to stay where he was. No, he was always trying to achieve what God had put in his heart to do, always trying to fulfill the purpose of God in his life. And we're not supposed to just sit back and do nothing. No, we should always be moving forward. And here's the thing. We're not ever supposed to be complacent in our relationship with the Lord. No, that's called lukewarm. We're not ever supposed to have that attitude, but we should always desire, like the Apostle Paul, after decades of walking with the Lord, he says, I want to know Christ. He wanted a deeper relationship. He wanted to know him more. And that's the way it ought to be for us. Paul's contentment did not mean that he just accepted things as they are. I mean, he would go into a city where they'd never heard the gospel. He didn't just go, oh, that's fine, I don't care. He didn't just stay home because, you know, I'm content. No, he was consumed. He was compelled to go. And when he went into a city, by the time he left, there was a church there. So I want you to understand, when we talk about contentment, we're not talking about putting our feet up in the recliner and doing nothing. Contentment is not an excuse for laziness. Laziness is a sin. Paul, he was always moving forward, always compelled by the Spirit to fulfill the purpose of God in his life. Acts 20, 22 through 24, it says, this is Paul speaking. He says, and now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. So it's the Holy Spirit that compelled him to go. But then he says, I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. I mean, the Holy Spirit compelled him to go, but then he also warned him of what was coming. So I'm going to warn you this morning. There's going to be some hard places. There's going to be some times in your life that you would rather be somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? You're going to face some of those. And I think the Holy Spirit preparing him helped him in this process of learning to be content. But notice this in verse 24. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task. The Lord Jesus has given me the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. My life means nothing to me if I can just fulfill this call, this purpose that he's given to me. How driven was this man? How compelled by the Spirit to fulfill the purpose of God in his life? So we don't get the picture of a guy that's sitting and doing nothing and being lazy, but we get the picture of a man who is serving God with all his heart and doing everything he can to fulfill the purpose of God in his life. Watchman Nee was a Christian writer in China, and he, like Paul, was imprisoned for his faith. He wrote many deeply spiritual books, and I just had such an intimate relationship with the Lord, such an example like the Apostle Paul. But he said, I have never met a soul who set out to satisfy the Lord and has not been satisfied himself. How true. You see, that's the way the Apostle Paul was. He was intent on satisfying God's call and purpose in his life. And in the process, he learned to be content. But you know, I want to clarify to you again that being content does not mean that we always just accept things as they are. I mean, if we have a need in our life, what are we supposed to do with that? We're supposed to pray about it. Jesus says that we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And that's not just about bread. We're supposed to go to God when we have a need. And so I don't want you to misunderstand this morning when we talk about being content with what we have. That doesn't mean that we don't ever pray. If there's something wrong in your life, yes, you talk to God about it. But in the process, while you're talking to the Lord about it and you're trusting Him, you see, we're not agitated and frustrated and being out of shape and discontent. No. We're trusting God. We're believing God, and we give Him thanks for taking care of us. Jesus said, our Father knows what we need before we even ask. So we're supposed to ask, but He already knows what we need, and He'll take care of us. Being content does not mean that you don't work hard. We always do our best. The scripture says, whatever you do in word or deed, you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We always do our best. You know, the Apostle Paul, he just was never content to do nothing. I mean, even in prison, he can't do what he did before, not the same way. But even in prison, he's writing letters to churches that we now hold as the scripture, the word of God. And he's sharing the gospel with everybody that will listen. He shares it with the soldiers. He has the opportunity to share it with kings. I mean, he has not stopped at all. In fact, he says that his bonds, being in prison, has worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. Some of us in our situation and circumstance that we think is so horrible and we're so miserable, we need to realize that maybe God can do something in that situation. Maybe God wants to use us in a special way during that time. I want you to hear me now. We are not supposed to just be content with the way things are. In fact, what we read in the scripture is that he says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. I've learned to be content, whether in need or in plenty. Not with. There's a difference. You see, it's not that we just accept and embrace this situation, but even in the midst of adversity and trouble and need, we're trusting God. And so we are not discontent. See, if you're in an unpleasant job and there's nothing wrong with you praying about that and talking to the Lord about it, you know, and maybe seeking another job as long as it's in the will of God. But I do want to tell you that, you see, even in the midst of working in a job that you struggle with, or maybe you don't even like it, you can still be content. Now, here's where the rub is for a lot of people is, you know, if the Lord's will is for you to go to a different job, if the Holy Spirit is leading you to do that, that's great. But a lot of the time, people have thought that the discontentment in their heart is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't speaking to you through your discontentment. That's not God. No, we just need to be willing to trust God in that situation and whatever He wants. Contentment is really bowing our heart to the will of God, no matter what the conditions are that we face. I mean, when Paul says that he's learned to be content, he's saying nothing is going to steal my peace and my joy, and God's moving and working in my life. I think Paul really believed he was in the will of God, even when he went through such adversity. You know why we have adversity? Even when you're in the will of God. Because we have an adversary. The Bible says we have an adversary, the devil. And he's always going to work against you, especially when you're in the will of God. So we need to be prepared for that. Just like the Holy Spirit prepared Paul, we need to know that, yeah, there's going to be times of hardship and struggle, but we don't have to be discontent while we're going through those things. You know, there's another type of circumstance I think a lot of people face is, you know, they're single and they would like to be married. They would like to find a spouse. And here's the thing, you know, if you really feel that down in your heart, that that's what you're supposed to do, then let me tell you, yes, pray. Yes, ask God. And while you are standing in faith and believing, don't be disgruntled and discontent, but be thanking God and trusting God. Be content that God, in His time, in His way, He will open the right door. He'll make that happen in your life. See, we need to have that attitude that the things we pray about, we're not just upset and discontent, complaining to the Lord, but we're trusting Him and believing Him. You know, I think if anybody ever had a reason to be discontent, it should have been the Apostle Paul. Here's this great man of God who is so driven and fulfilling the purpose of God in his life, starting all of these churches and doing all this stuff, and now he's stuck in prison. He could have just said, Lord, here I am, your faithful servant. I've been serving you for 25 years, and you allow this to happen to me? This is not fair. Anybody ever want to say that to God? It's not fair. But yet he had learned it somehow. I learned to be content in whatever situation I'm in. I want you to hear me now. He learned it. I don't think he learned it overnight. I think it came from those many years of serving the Lord, the many tests and trials and experiences that he went through, and the Lord took care of him and provided for him everything that he needed and gave him the strength to deal with every situation. That's how he learned it. And I want you to understand that this morning, that God can set you on a course to contentment. But don't expect everything to change overnight. Hopefully, we can learn some things from the Apostle Paul this morning, and it doesn't take us 25 years, but you just need to understand that you gotta learn it. I mean, if we could bottle contentment and sell it, everybody would be wanting to buy it. But it doesn't come that way. And you can't come for prayer this morning and just get zapped and be content the rest of your life. Although prayer is a great place to start. But it's something that you gotta learn. He said, I've learned to be content. Smith Barney says, we make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. This is Paul. We find contentment the old-fashioned way. We learn it. That's right. You're going to have to learn it. It's easy to say that we are content, but it's something else. It's like so many things. It's something else to actually do it, to get rid of the discontent where we're enjoying life in whatever our situation. So I want to break this down into four things that we have to learn in order to learn to be content. We got to know that our contentment does not come from our circumstances. And we've talked about this a lot, but I'll tell you, this is a big issue here. This is one of the main problems, is that we just think it's about our situation. It is not. Paul says, whatever situation I'm in, I've learned to be content. And you got to know that. You got to learn that. It is not dependent on your situation. Let me read it. Verse 12 of Philippians 4. He says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. See, it's regardless of his circumstance, he's content. And he says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to be in want. You know, in other words, he had had times in his life where it was all good. And he also had those times in his life where he was in great need. He knew both sides of that road. And see, a lot of us, we just know one side or the other. We've always had plenty and some have always had want. He knew what both sides were like. And here's what he learned. He learned how to be content on either side. Oh, how we need that. It's not about our circumstance. Paul, we're reading these verses from the book of Philippians. See, Paul went to Philippi to share the gospel, and he starts a church there. But there's this lady there that's really well-to-do. She owns her own business. Her name is Lydia, and she opens up her house. And here Paul, you know, he gets to live in luxury. I mean, he's in the rich lady's house, and he's got it all good. But it's not long, just down the road, and he's out sleeping in a sleeping bag under a tree somewhere with nothing. I learned to be content in plenty or in want. And here's the thing. If we think we can only be content when we got the plenty, we need to ask ourselves, who's really my God? Am I allowing other things to take the place of the only one who can truly satisfy? You see, it can never be about the things. Carmen and I, on a couple of occasions in our 41 years, we got to travel, fly first class. And it's almost embarrassing to me, you know, the way they wait on you and talk to you and treat you in first class. I mean, you know, they give you a snack. You know, you can have this or that, whatever you want, you can have it. And, oh, would you like me to bring you a warm, wet rag for your hands? I'm like, what? Okay. But you know, then after you have that experience, and the next time you're flying economy, you know, coach, and you're walking by those people and you're like, you rich snobs, you with your tomato juice. And they're like, what are you looking at? But I just want you to understand, you see, we get that attitude where, oh, this, well, I can enjoy this. This is who I am. This is how it's supposed to be for me. I want you to know the Apostle Paul knew both sides of that. And guess what? So do we, one way or another. It might not be about material things. It might be about something else. But here's the thing. If your contentment is based on your circumstances, it's always going to be a roller coaster, up and down, up and down. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You can learn to be content in any and every circumstance. Next, to be content, we learn not to compare ourselves or our situation or our stuff with others. Now, we talked a lot about this last week, but I just want to touch on it again because it's so important. It is one of the key issues that gets people discontent is when they see what other people have. And it's not just stuff. Sometimes it's their job or their spouse. It could be all kinds of things. Oh, if I had the opportunity that preacher has. See, we can be discontent about where we serve. Comparing. It's called the land of Ur. We want to be richer. It's a comparison. We want to be skinnier. We want to be stronger, healthier, happier. We want a prettier wife. We want a bigger house. We want a nicer car. We want a newer phone. None of it will bring you true contentment. Next, we have to learn that our contentment comes from our relationship with the Lord. And this is the real secret of our contentment. There's always going to be circumstances that are less than perfect. There's always going to be challenging times in our life. But if we learn that our contentment is in the Lord, oh, we can be content no matter what we're going through. Psalm 119 and verse 57 says, "You are my portion, O Lord. You are my portion." He's the one that satisfies. He's the one that fulfills and makes us content. In John chapter 4, Jesus ministers to a woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And this woman has had five husbands, and she's now living with another man who is not her husband. This woman was discontent. Somehow in her relationships, she was never content. I want to tell you that there is no earthly relationship that will make you fully content. Now, I told my sweetheart one day, I said, I just want you to know I'm content with you. She said, thanks. So maybe that's not the right way to say that, gentlemen. But this lady who was so discontent, never satisfied, Jesus offers her living water. He says in John 4, 13 and 14, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That woman found that which truly satisfies. We read about this little man named Zacchaeus in the scripture. He wasn't just any old tax collector. He was a thieving tax collector. He stole from people. He cheated people. But then one day, Jesus came to his house and God changed his life forever. And he says, I'm going to return fourfold to anybody that I've taken from. Here this man who thought that material things were the key to his contentment. If he could just get enough. He was stealing from other people. If he could just get enough. Didn't work. But when Jesus came to his house, it changed everything. Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. You see, it's about a relationship with the Lord. That's the key. Relationships, money, achievements, even religion can never truly bring lasting contentment. John 10 and 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. It's a relationship with the Lord. Hebrews 13, 5 in the NIV says, keep your lives free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. Are you there? Are you learning it? Be content with what you have. Because as God has said, why should we be content with what we have? Here it is. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's why it's our relationship with Him. That's how we can be content. Because He is always with us. We don't have to run after stuff. We don't have to be striving and looking over the next mountain before we can finally be happy, because Jesus is right there with us right now. Yes. Right now. See, right now, how can you be content? Because the Lord is available. He is here right now. And He is the only one that can truly satisfy. You know, when you have the Lord, you have everything you need. He's our healer, our provider, our shepherd, our protector, our deliverer, and so much more. Everybody, parents, don't get mad at me for saying this in front of your teenager, but not everybody needs to go to college. Not everybody has to climb the corporate ladder. Not everybody has to make tons of money or have some great achievement, but everybody needs a relationship with the Lord. Everybody. Abraham was so rich. The Bible says, it's Genesis 13, 2. Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. I mean, the Lord had blessed him materially. But it's really weird. Abraham was content to live in a tent. He came from a place where they had houses. When him and Lot separated, Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah and he lived in a house, but Abraham, he's still living out in a tent. Poor Sarah. Married to a guy that's content to live in a tent. But here's the thing, the Bible says that Abraham was called the friend of God. It wasn't about his situation or circumstance. It was about a relationship that he had with God. In fact, when God got ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, am I going to keep this from my friend Abraham? What kind of friendship, relationship did he have with the Lord that the Lord would tell him what he was about to do? We read the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And there's this young man who is so discontent with his life. He's not even willing to wait for his father to pass on, but he demands to have his inheritance now. He says, I want it now. And he wants to go out and live his own life and do his own thing. And somehow he thought that with this money and his wild living, that it was going to satisfy, it was going to make him content. But here's the end of the story. There came a day when the only thing that he wanted was to go back to the Father's house. I want to tell you, this world will leave you empty. And the best place is when you come to that realization that the only thing that really matters is your relationship with the Lord. So many believers looking and searching for something when the only thing that satisfies and brings true contentment is the Lord Himself. Last, we learn that our contentment is found in trusting Him to take care of us. We learn to look to Him in every situation, no matter how difficult, how great the struggle, we trust Him. You see, when you really know Him, when you have a close relationship with the Lord and you really know who He is and how He treats us and what He can do in your life, you don't have to fret. You don't have to be upset when things are not going right. You know that God is going to take care of you. The Apostle Paul went through so much, and yet he has this trust, this faith. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to remind you, this is in our main text this morning, Philippians 4:13. He says this after talking about how he knew how to be content with plenty or in need. We pull this verse out of context and we just try to make it into a verse that means I can do anything I want because he's my strength, so I can do anything. I can dunk a basketball on a 10-foot goal. I want you to know that's not faith for me. That's fantasy. You know what I'm saying? But we use this verse this way where it turns into something we can just use freely at our own discretion and will. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Pay attention to the context here. He's talking about great need or having plenty. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will give you the strength. If you're going through a battle, a struggle, you can trust Him to get you through. He will give you the strength to endure and to press on and to overcome. See, we need to know this. That's what this is about. That we're trusting God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And some of you right now, you're in a great challenge and difficulty in life, and you're just thinking, I just got to get out of this situation. I just need things to change. Let me tell you, God may change your situation, but right now, where you are in the process, He will give you the strength. I can do all things. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to wrap this up with the 23rd Psalm. It gives us such a perfect picture of contentment. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, that speaks of relationship and submission and trust. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's contentment. I trust my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That's contentment. Cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Contentment. He wants us to have that kind of contentment, to be able to enjoy life at every stage of life, in every part of life, and even in every battle of life, that we can find joy and victory in the midst of all of it. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for prayer partners to come.